Well, I'm glad to be here today. I'm glad to be in the presence of God. I'm glad we can do it freely, even if we have to do it social distancing. Amen? Good. Well, this morning, I want to tell you, my name is Jackie. I work in a country that is sensitive to the gospel. And I minister to Hindus, to Muslims, to Buddhists, to Sikhs, to atheists, which are my favorite. I love talking with atheists. I love sitting at a table and talking it out. I never have to argue about Jesus. You don't need to argue for him. He can handle himself. He can prove himself more than anything. All you have to do is be like Jesus and take time to listen. And eventually, you'll hear what the objections really are. So I want to play a video for you in just a minute to give you a little bit of what I'm doing, and then I'm going to talk to you. Table where Jesus sits. It's one of the things that drives me. I love people. I think that people are fantastic because Jesus thinks people are fantastic. I believe that it's easy to see people's dirt. Anybody can do that. But I believe everybody has gold inside of them. And if you look hard enough, you'll see the gold. And if you call it forward, they'll start acting like that, and they'll believe it. And that's part of what we do when we're in India. When we're there, part of opening up your house is setting a table. When you go to an Indian home, they offer you this wonderful spiced tea. And every day, I found this in my bag. I'm like, wow, I found it. It's an everyday cup that they pour this spiced tea into. When I went to, I wanted to buy like a lot of these and bring them home as gifts for people. And the man said, I don't know how much tea charge you. They have no value. And I'm like, no, they do. I want like buy a large amount, not like two. And he's like, no, I don't. They don't have any value. I can't even put a price on them. So he gave me one. And what they do is they drink this and they'll throw it on the ground and you'll see them all over the ground. Instead of people, you'll see this and they're all over the ground. They're everyday cups. And this is what I use sometimes in illustrations, especially with my Indian sisters and brothers, is this is an everyday cup. But what's inside of it is awesome. You see, we're everyday cups. An earthen vessel, right? This is made out of the earth. It's clay. And it's hardened by the sun. You can only leave drinks in it for so long. We're everyday cups that God wants to pour awesome into so that people will be thirsty and want it and drink it. Just the smell alone will get you to want to drink this drink. So just the smell of Jesus on you will want people to want him. Amen? I'm going to read out of Luke chapter 19. It's the story of Zacchaeus, and I love this story. You know, we read it as a child, and it's like this cute little song that goes with it. Zacchaeus is up in the tree. But there's so much more going on in this story. Luke chapter 19. In the city of Jericho, there lived a very wealthy man named Zacchaeus, who was a supervisor over all tax collectors. As Jesus made his way through the city, Zacchaeus was eager to see Jesus. He kept trying to get a look at him, but the crowd around Jesus was massive. Zacchaeus was a very short man and couldn't see over the heads of the people. So he ran on ahead of everyone to climb a blossoming fig tree so he could get a glimpse at Jesus as he passed by. When Jesus got to the place, he looked up into the tree and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down, for I'm appointed to stay at your house today." So he scurried down the tree and he came face to face with Jesus. As Jesus left to go with Zacchaeus, many in the crowd complained, "Look at this. Of all the people to have dinner with, he's going to eat in the house of a crook." Zacchaeus joyously welcomed Jesus and was amazed over his gracious visit to his home. Zacchaeus stood in front of the Lord and said, "Half of all that I own, I will give to the poor. And Lord, if I have cheated anyone, I promise to pay back four times as much as I have stole." Jesus said to him, "This shows that today life has come to you and your household, for you are a true son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek out and give life to those who are lost." I love this story. I think Zacchaeus was like a modern day kind of wise guy. You know, he was like the godfather of the day. He was extorting money from his people, taking taxes, but also taking a little bit for himself, and probably as a supervisor, took a little bit more from the other guys. So he's pretty much, if you're wondering what version I was using the Passion Translation, because you're probably looking at your Bible going, "What?" I like the Passion Translation just because it's something new. And it just gives the story a little more life. So here we are with this wise guy, and he is a short guy. So, you know, the crowds around him, they're not going to let him in. They don't want him to be involved. One of the things I love about this, it says that he ran. He ran. Wealthy people in that day did not run for anything. Servants ran for things, not wealthy people. So he was creating this expectation that was in the air. Maybe not knowing it, he just wanted to see Jesus. Then he climbs up a tree. Another thing wealthy people do not do. Servants climb trees in those times. He's creating, again, expectancy. And his expectancy catches the attention of God himself. As Jesus walks by, he looks up and he says, "Zacchaeus, come, I'm coming to your house today. I'm going to sit at your table." And although other people are complaining, look at him. Look at who he's sitting with. Zacchaeus is overjoyed that he's coming to his house. And when he gets there, we don't know what the conversation was. All we know is a transformation happened at that table, where Zacchaeus says, "Up to half of everything I own, I will give to those who are poor, and everyone that I've stolen from, I will give back four times as much." A transformation happens at that time. And Jesus says, today, because of that transformation, a decision he's made, today, pretty much is saying salvation has come to your house. Not just you, Zacchaeus, to your house. You see, in India, when you sit at a table and you drink someone's tea, you no longer are a stranger. You're now family. And they'll pretty much do whatever you need them to do. It's the most amazing culture. Open homes, open lives. And that's what we as a team do, is open our lives to people who do not know his name, because we're reaching the unreached. We are going up into the mountains where it's difficult. I spent 2 years in the mountains, and then I spent 1 year in Calcutta, and I realized that I am a mountain girl. I'm not a city girl. I love the mountains, even though the life is a little bit difficult. Electricity is a little dicey. You know, you have to unplug your stuff really quick. You can't leave it plugged in overnight. You got to unplug things because things will blow up. Water comes from a tank up above. I have to take bucket baths, you know, when I have to go on a visa run, when we have to leave and you get in a hotel and it's a shower, you're like, oh, things you miss. But I don't mind the difficulties, because the people that come to my house, as you saw those pictures, those are all my experiences. I didn't take those photos from Google Images. They're mine. My house was always filled with people. I love people. This COVID thing was killing me. Like, I needed to be around people, and people fuel me. That's my fuel. Once in a while, when I get a little overwhelmed, I would get on my scooty, because I learned to ride a scooter. I got on my scooty and I went around 3 or 4 mountains just so I wouldn't have a cell signal, so that I could just be with Jesus. And one of those times, I had stayed out and I found a little chai stall and I had my chai. And of course, people stare because I'm literally the only white woman out there. And I'm sipping my chai and these two old aunties come out from like down below, and they've got all this grass on top of their head. And they said, "Didi, what are you doing here?" And I said, "Oh, I'm just having chai, and then I'm going back to Missouri. I'm going back this way." And they said, "No, it's raining. See, this rainstorm is going to be all night. It won't stop." And I said, "Oh, dear." They said, "Come home with us." I don't know these people. I don't know where they live. I'm thinking, they're climbing down there. I'm probably going to climb somewhere. And they said, "Leave your scooty here with Uncle, and he will take care of it." So I said, "All right, I have no choice. I have to go with these ladies." So I went with these two women, these two old ladies, to their home, very humble home. They made me, I watched them make me dinner. They made me chai. They put a place for me in their bed. Like, I didn't have a separate bed. I was in the middle, because they said that was the warmest spot. Now, I was going through menopause. I was already warm. So I was like, gosh, I'm gonna be really sweating. But I slept in between both of them. And then in the morning, we made breakfast together. They taught me how to make aloo paratha and taught me how to make chai. And then I went down and milked their cows with them. I will do anything to reach someone for Jesus. Anything. I'll milk your cow. I'll sit there. I won't like it very much, but I'll do it. I'll go out in the field and I'll pick whatever you're picking out of the field. Show me how you want your house sweeped. I'll sweep your house. It's connections with people that all of a sudden things are transformed. I was doing some devotions at a boys' home on this mountain, and I was running a little late, and I rode my scooty up real quick, and I got on top, and I said, "Man, I forgot my Bible." So I asked the pastor's wife, "Could I use your Bible?" And she said, "Sure, just have a seat in here." And so I'm sitting on their bed, because that's what you do. You don't have seats. You sit on people's beds, and that's where you eat. That's where you talk. It's strange as an American, but you go with it. And when I'm sitting there, a friend of hers, a cousin, sister, whatever, was coming. She was a Hindu from Mumbai, and she came and she sat, And she was staring at me, and I said, Namaste, Didi. And she said, Namaste. And so I just kept reading, and she was staring, and she said, Excuse me. Your face, it's glowing. What's your secret? I said, No, it's probably menopause. I'm hot or something. She's like, No, it's glowing. What's your secret? I said, You want to know my secret? She said, Yes. I said, It's joy. She said, Joy? Where do you get this joy? I said, You want to know where I get my joy? She said, Yes. I said, I get it from Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. And she said, Really? And I said, I didn't always have this joy. And I told her my testimony. And my testimony is this, is that through a husband who had left me, I forgave and obeyed. When the Lord told me to love him no matter what, I said, Show me how, and I'll do it. I'm a yes girl for Jesus. I lived my life my own way for so long, and when Jesus said, If you say yes to me, I'll change you. And he did. He changed me. Had I not have Jesus, I think I would have been a totally different woman. You know, in the States, we say, just you're going to have to eat a piece of humble pie. I only want a sliver. I just want a sliver, right? I'll take that. God says, eat the whole pie, Jackie. And I would have to eat this humble pie. And when God was saying, this is going to transform you, I had to do things that I thought, man, this is justified. My anger's justified. God said, love him no matter what. And he changed me. And someone told me, you'll never be able to share your story in India because it's shameful in India. And I said, a long time ago, 20-something years ago, God delivered me from shame and guilt. And he didn't just do it for the United States. He did it for wherever I am and whoever he tells me to tell it to. And it will transform people because it transformed me. It was a journey I had to go on, a journey where there was hills and valleys. And the valleys really weren't pleasant until I got up on top of the mountain and I looked down at the valley and said, Ha, that's what you were doing. In India, I lived on top of a mountain. And I was reminded all the time when I had to climb those hills before I had my scooter, I was like, I can't stand this mountain. But then when I'd get to the top, I'd go, Wow. Wow, God. At my table, I have had Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, and atheists, and Christians, all sitting at one table, sharing a meal, and talking about, what do you believe about creation? What does a Muslim think about the poor? What does an atheist think about life and death, and who is the author of it? And being able to sit at a table and listen to somebody, I think we've lost the art of listening. And conversation. In this whole political storm, and we say, Oh, we can't, and we can't do this, and we can't do that. Don't say this. I can't be friends with you if you're gonna vote for this one. Man, I thought our friendships went deeper. They have to go deeper. Because Jesus goes deeper. He goes deeper for us. So in India, what we're doing is reaching the people who have never heard his name. One woman said to me, I've never met a Christian like you. I said, That's a shame. I'm sorry. I said, I'm assuming it's a compliment. She said, Yes. She said, Your love is so strong. I can't resist it. I said, You know, that happened to me a long time ago. Jesus loved me, and he said he chose me like he chose Zacchaeus, like he chose the woman at the well. That was her table. Her table was the well, and she went out and she told an entire town who wouldn't even listen to her before, saw a transformation and said, Let's go with her and see this man. You see, sitting at a table, having a conversation can transform somebody. But you have to do a lot more listening than you do talking. That's what we need to do these days. So in India, when we're reaching people who have never heard his name, they're open to it because they serve gods that are very fearful. And they've never heard of a God that has said, I love you. I chose you. I loved you first. They serve a God out of fear or out of tradition. We don't ask them to come out of their community. We ask them to stay close so that they can be the influence. So I disciple one, they can disciple many because they know heart language. They know more Hindi than I do. When we go out on the field, we don't go knowing everything. We're living in a life and immersing ourselves in a life to learn culture. I'm still learning. I've been in there for 3 years, and I'm still learning culture. I'm still learning how not to think like an American and think like Indians do and love them. And I genuinely, anytime I see Indians here in the States, I'm always wanting to talk to them, and I forget, oh, they're American. They're not Indian. I might see an auntie at a store and she'll be wearing a sari. That, I make a beeline for that woman. I'm like, hello, auntie. And I speak Hindi to her and she's like, oh, talking. Eventually she invites me over for chai. And I'll go. I'll tell this last story. I live in Abington and I live with my best friend, Anne. And she has this couple who are Indians, like four condos down. And I saw them and I said, I'm going to get in their house. She looked at me, she's like, what? I'm like, I'm getting in. I'm going to find a way. I'm praying. So I started praying, Lord, just get me in their house, please. And so I was going to my car, and I saw the man, and I said, namaste, bhaiya. And he said, oh, you know Hindi. And we started talking. And before you know it, the ladies asked me over for chai and breakfast. And she made this beautiful Indian breakfast. And started talking, and then we started talking about church. And I mean, they didn't know what I was doing in India. They just know I had been there for 3 years. They didn't know the real reason I was there, but just sitting with them and talking with them, and they said, please come again, just knock on the door, just as if we were in India. You have to call anybody. You think we can set up a play date or whatever? You just show up, and they're like, let me put on the tea, let me start making. So today, if you'll pray for the people of India and for those who are serving and working there, pray for us to have language that will touch their hearts, that will learn that language that will touch their hearts, and pray that those who are seeking truth will hear truth in the name of Jesus. Will you stand for me for a minute? Those at home, you can stay on your couch. And I'm going to pray over you. Will you believe in your heart that you'll set a table, no matter where it looks? It could look at the CVS line. It could look anywhere you go. Will you set a table and put Jesus at the head of that table and transform someone's life? So, Lord, this morning I pray for this congregation, Lord. I pray for the people here that are your people. You have chosen each and every one. You chose them first. And Lord, that you would use them to set a table for you, that you sit at for others to come and be transformed. No matter what it is, it could be a smile, it could be a hug when we're allowed to hug again, it could be in a gesture, a kind gesture. Lord, make them a vessel, an everyday cup that you pour awesome into. And that people will want it. Give them eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mouth to speak. In Jesus' name, amen.